thank God that we all are here. Yes, dear friends, please all find a seat. And when I say thank God, we all are here, I'm saying thank God I am here. Yesterday I couldn't move this arm. It was so bad. Elder Dr. Cheng came to see me in the house. And he says, you got tendinitis, inflammation in the muscle. I could not move my arm. It was so painful. But God has given me sufficiency of His grace. This arm is all right. Praise the Lord. But this morning I woke up, could hardly move out of bed because of the pain in my back. It was so terrible. Again, I cried out to the Lord, Lord, do you want me to go to church today? So the Lord answered prayer. Please, let us all learn the prayer of faith. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So saying that is just to encourage one another that this back is all right, although I have to walk a little slowly. Now, the message for this morning is, blessed are the merciful. In Matthew 5:7, the Beatitudes preached by our Lord, the so-called Sermon on the Mount, and we are concentrating on one verse. Blessed are the merciful. What do you understand by this? Oh, my friends, the first thing I want us to all understand it is this. Only God can show mercy, for He is the source of all goodness, love, and mercy. For we are all sinners and debtors to the love of God, and we have nothing to show that is good. How can we show mercy when we all need mercy? The best verse, the best passage I can quote to you in order that we may understand God's mercy is in the Psalm 103 by King David. And I would like you to please turn there. Psalm 103, a well-read and familiar psalm. We are going to read, I'm going to read to you verses 8 to 17. And I say again, dear friends, as you read, please pray in your heart, Lord, help me to understand what mercy is all about. What is David saying when he writes this psalm? When you read this psalm, does it speak to you? Oh, dear friends, except God showed His love and mercy to us, we know nothing of mercy. For mercy flows from the great and loving heart of God. And in these few verses, may God show to us. Are you praying? Please do. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, not like men. True, all of us must confess we are quick to anger. We all fast on the draught, ready to scold, ready to get angry, but not God. And plenteous in mercy, oh dear friends, please pray God to make you like Him. You know, being a Christian is not just to be saved, and that's it. To be saved and to be made like God, like Him, learning to be like Him. In what way? Plenteous in mercy, verse 8. Are you? May God speak to you, that you will not just read, listen, and forget it, but pray that even as we know that it is good and God-like, to be plenteous in mercy. Let us practice it. And you say, how can I? I'm so weak. True? Absolutely. But then God says, with me, nothing is impossible. That's why I say you pray. Pray, Lord, please make me to be plenteous in mercy. Not to get so angry so easily. Verse 9. He will not always scold you, chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. Oh, so sad. There are some people who are so grim and long in the face and always scowling, always scolding, never stop. How can it be? If you are a child of God, never keep your anger for, what does it say? Don't let the sun set over your anger. Don't. It does you no good. Verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins. For if he did, what would we be? Where would we be? All of us would be condemned, cast away. No hope. True? Absolutely. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. Verse 11. Now this is a wonderful expression of God's mercy. Listen. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. You fear him? Think soberly of yourself and the greatness and goodness of God and say, Lord, I fear to offend you because you've been so good to me. This is the meaning of fearing God. Not that you're so frightened you run away from God. No. To know that before him, we are finished and undone, except he has mercy on us. That is to fear him. And yet to draw near to him. Because God does not reject any sinner who comes to him with broken, contrite heart, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He delights in mercy. Read on. As far as the east is from the west, can you measure that? So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Oh, the loving heart of God. He wants us to be cleansed and pure. And he takes away that sin by the blood of the cross. And removes that sin far, far away that you never remember it anymore. Verse 13 is one that is known to all of us. If you are a child, you understand your father. If you're a father or parent, you understand your own heart. What does it say here? Verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The best example of this is the story of the prodigal son. There was every reason for the father to expel him, to disown him, to be very angry with him. And yet, when he returned, after having squandered away his inheritance, after having lived a sinful life, what did the father do? We all remember that. So, please look to God. Look to God as the loving, merciful Heavenly Father. Verse 13 again. Like as a father pitieth his children, you pity your child? Oh, let us learn. We will all pity our child. But this is a very easy lesson. We all understand it. We all pity our children. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He knows how easily we sin. How easily we fall. How easily we offend against him and break his holy law. He knows all this. And yet he pardons us. Because his heart is like a loving father. Oh, what a wonderful illustration of the mercy of God. Mercy of God. We must learn from it. For he remembered that we are dust. Verse 15. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. What worth is there in man? Very little. For the days we spend on earth are but like the grass of the field. The flower that blooms this morning, by evening it fades and it is cast away to be burned. That is a picture of your life. Don't ever think we are permanent citizens of earth. We are not. Only very temporary. Verse 16 says, the wind passes over it, and we are gone. And the place of it shall know it no more. But, verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Can you cultivate something of the mercy of God? Please, pray it. Then, try it. Remind yourself, if you have a diary, write what you read. Write there that Psalm 103, verse 17 says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Then you write the little prayer, Lord, give to me something of that mercy. Blessed are the merciful. You want to be happy? Who doesn't want to be happy? And the Lord in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:7 says, blessed are the merciful. Are you one who qualifies for that? If so, say thank the Lord. For you will obtain mercy. This is the key to happiness in life. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children. What a lovely psalm. The next time we read responsive reading, Psalm 103, I'm sure it will ring a bell in you. Then we understand it better, don't we? Oh, my friends, thank God for his mercy. And how does he show his mercy? Do you know? Have you experienced it? Is there someone here in our audience who has yet to experience the mercy of God? Let me turn you to Ephesians chapter 2. And then you will say, Lord, show me that mercy, that wonderful mercy, that I too may have a part in your holy everlasting kingdom in the heavenly places. Are you longing for it? There are so many people who are seeking for happiness, seeking for the answer to life. What are we living here for? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Answer to your quest, answer to your seeking is right here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, you have to come to him if you are looking for the answer to life. You cannot find the answer to life yourself, for there is none. Verse 4 says, God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, mercy flows from the loving heart of God. For God so loved you and me, he gave his only begotten Son to pay the price for you and me, buy us back to God, to pay the penalty for our sins, and to show us the benefit of that sacrifice on the cross by mercy. Mercy. That we are forgiven when we come to him in faith. My dear friends, anyone here who has not found that mercy, come today. Come now. That answer to your prayer is right now. Verse 4. Please look. God is rich in mercy. He has great love wherewith he loved you. And when you look to him and say, God, I thank you. You thought of me when you went to the cross. God thought of you, all of us. And he offers us that great love. By mercy, he receives us. Not that we were worthy, not that there was any good in us, but the next verse says, even when we were dead in sins, filthy, ugly, hateful, unlovable. Please, that is our condition. And God had pity, mercy on us. He came to us. I said, don't struggle in your own abilities, dear friends, whoever you are. There is mercy so rich and free now in the Savior. He's longing for you, waiting for you, wanting you to be part of his everlasting kingdom. Please read it together. Now listen to me. Verse 5. Even when you were dead in sins and trespasses, he quickened you. You were dead, he came to you and gave you life. That is mercy. Is that so? Oh, my friends, and together with Christ, he quickened you when he raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. He included you. Amazing mercy, amazing grace. That you, believing in him, have a part in that resurrection and that life that comes from him alone. By grace, you are saved. What is the difference between mercy and grace, you ask me? Mercy? Sparing you from the punishment you deserve, that is mercy. Grace? Giving you blessings you never deserve, that's grace. Thank God he gives us mercy and grace. Verse 6, raise us up together and make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, not by yourself, not because you are better than anyone else, not because you come to church regularly, but all because you look to Jesus in faith. In Christ Jesus, there is mercy and grace. Oh, my friends, now I want to share with you what we ought to do. Having heard all this, what is our duty? As Christians, we ought to know we are saved to serve. Don't anyone here be saved and sit and do nothing, and I say you are doing yourself a great injustice. God saves us for a purpose. Do you know that? Ask yourself now, What have I done? What have you done? Oh, my friends, blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Be merciful, therefore, even as your Father is also merciful. I want to turn you to a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 6. And here we are challenged to practice our understanding of God's mercy. If God is so merciful, and you have received that mercy freely, you are not free. You are not free to just take it and go. But here is the lesson our Lord himself gives to us. Luke chapter 6, verse 31 to 36. Listen carefully. The Lord himself says to you, what did I say? Jesus says, verse 31, as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. This is a secret of showing mercy. Always put yourself in the position of the other person. You're feeling so angry with that person, so heated up. Ah, my friends, exchange places. Then the whole thing will become very clear. Verse 31 says, as you would that that other fellow should do to you, do you also do them likewise? How would you like him to treat you? Treat him like what you want him to treat you. This is the basis of mercy. Verse 32. For if you love them who love you, what thanks have you? Sinners also love those that love them. They call this quid pro quo, tit for tat. You do good to me, I do good to you. That is, everybody knows that. Unbelievers do the same. But Jesus is talking to you. You come to me. You want my salvation grace. And I show it to you. Have mercy on you. Now there must be a difference that you do not treat everyone like the world treats them. You do me good, I do you good. That is quits. Nothing special. Or everybody knows how to do it. Now what is the difference? Verse 33. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners do the same. But, and if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again and more. You know, loan sharks and others, they lend for high profit of interest. Now the Lord says, you do that, there is no particular virtue. What must we do then? Blessed are the merciful. How do you show that mercy? Ah, here comes the teaching. Verse 35, please note, it's for you and me. And when you walk out of this church afterwards, going home, remind yourself of verse 35. Love your enemies. Wow, how can that be? I hate that fellow. I don't like him. Even the sight of him makes me sick. Ah, the Lord says, that is the test. That is the test. Love him. Love your enemies. This is so hard, so hard. Of course, anything that is worthwhile is hard to do. True? It's a challenge. But if your Christianity is genuine, if you say you're a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, listen to him, not to me. I'm not saying anything like that. But I say it because Jesus says you do. True? Yes. Love your enemies. Do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. Oh, you say, how foolish. Lend and then forget it. This is what the Lord Jesus says. And don't go after that person. Pay up, pay up. You know he can't pay. So, mercy is to say, lend and forget it. Can you do that? Have you done it? Therein is blessing. Blessed are the merciful who lend money and forget it. Ah, my friends, not easy, but blessing is there. And your reward shall be great. And he shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So should you. Who says so? Jesus says so. The Lord Jesus says, my heavenly Father is kind and good to the evil. No matter how evil, they still get the sunshine and the rain. Their crops still flourish. Their business still flourish. Who are they? Crooks. True, yes. If so, can you not show some kindness, merciful to others, even though you know they are not the best types? Now, this is, I say, very difficult. But Jesus says, therein is blessing, mercy. You show it, you get it. God will show it to you. Verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. This is the crunch verse. You know what that is? Which verse? 36. You like to read it with me? Please, all read now, please. This is the lesson for this morning. So we read together, Luke 6:36. Everyone together, please. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Then what are you like? Like God. Can it be? Of course. You say, that fellow is very godly. What do you mean by godly? Do you know what the meaning of godly? Godlike. That's all. So, verse 36 is how to be godly. Be therefore merciful, because your Father is merciful. We have little time, but I want to give another few applications. For having understood the great mercy of God, you have the profit to reap, listening and understanding. You must go away with the profit. And that profit is that you are going to try it yourself. We have a golden age ministry in our church. And I say that is a ministry of mercy. We never had it until not too long ago, over a year ago. But now it is bringing much blessing to old people who never had anyone visit them, for example. Say, why go to visit them? I say, it's mercy. When a housebound old person never has anyone visit them, now, 2, 3 people, 5, 10 people go there and say, we come here to have a little Bible study and to visit you. What a blessing. Blessed are the merciful. So I say to you, and some of you have been helping this golden age ministry by providing gifts for the old people or by driving a car to take them around to visit the old people. It is a great blessing we all can do. What else can we do? I say, dear friends, if you can't go, you can't give, you can't do anything, there's one thing all of us can do. All of us. What is it? The greatest mercy you can show to anyone is to pray for him. Pray to the Father in heaven at his throne of grace for someone. Please, don't say, I don't like him. How can I pray for him? That is the test. Oh, how can you say you don't like anybody? For God, if he had said that, you would never be saved. I would never be saved. All of us are unloving and unlovely, hateful people. So, what can we do to be merciful? The greatest mercy you can show anyone is to pray for him. Pray lovingly for him. Try it, please. Don't just in the year and out the year and forget it. But go home and try it. How about this? You say, why do you give us this piece of paper? This brown envelope. Have you all got a copy? Please, take it out. I'm going to tell you what to do with this. Everyone has received this, you know. Can you kindly take it out? So that I can refer to it. This is a means of mercy. This is given out not just to add paper to you to collect. What's the point of collecting paper? But there is much meaning in giving this out, dear friends. Look at the items there. Please look carefully. Number one says benevolent fund. There are those in need, but they don't come to you. They go to the elders or the deacons, and they have a certain fund because you gave. You gave. That is mercy. Who are these people? People who have met with accidents. Misfortune. Out of job. They walk in. Can you help me in this, in that? Your fund goes to this fund of mercy. Number two, Bethel Development Fund Center in Chiang Rai, Thailand. Number two. You say, what is this about? I have published this quite a few times. In case it has not impressed you, I'm telling you, 40 or 50 of these young children out of the villages come to the town and they live in a Christian hostel in order to go to school. And this is run by one of our contacts, an elder Chalo. The niece and the nephew, one has finished FEBC, the other is studying. And there is a Christian ministry for very poor children. You have a part in it when you give to this, all right? Number three, Calvary Missionary Society. A group of your people here have taken upon themselves to look after the missions. What are missions? Missions of mercy, to go and tell of the love of Jesus. Your dollar will go to that fund to help them. Church extension has been done. Number five, Far Eastern Bible College, which trains missionaries, preachers, pastors for 18 countries around the world. Your dollar will go to fund this college. Number six, Hilltop Philippines. We all know the Eberts. You say, who are the Eberts? Father Ebert brought his whole family over 50 years ago to the Philippines and lived in the island of Palawan. And there he learned the language. And there he translated the New Testament into Palawano language. He is there. Your money goes to help. Recently, that senior and most trusted Filipino worker called Mr. Lou Baton, I've mentioned this several times, you all ought to know, nearly died. But we sent relief, and today he is home. So this is a help-worthy mission. Jordan Mission, you know, Preacher Chi, I've got him here for you all to see him and his wife. Two of them looking after three mission stations. Number five, Pontianak Gospel Missions. The head-hunting country of Pontianak in Borneo. The Lord has opened us a mission field. You give whatever you can, it goes there to help them. RPG Ministry. I want to let you know that now RPG in Chinese is going to China, right? RPG in Chinese is going to China. Who funds it? We give it to them free. You fund it. Think of it. Yes. That's why we give you this. Instead of giving to the general fund, it gives you an opportunity to say, I want the gospel to go to China. You put it there. Think of the Pang family, number 10. Last year, Reverend Pang Kok Hiong says, thank you all for supporting me all these 10, 11 years. From now on, let me go by faith. Only whatever comes by faith supports him. No more salary. Think of him and the family. That is number 10. Same with 11. Number 11, Peter Clemens, a man who was given 2 months to live in the year 2003, has lived 2003 to 2004 to 2005 over 2 years. Living with his heart hanging on the thread. Literally, he can die anytime. There he is. Every week he preaches without fail, in spite of his sickness, the heart that is wobbling away. Think of him. Saipan China Missions. Sydney Building Fund. Do you know that this church gives a home for your young people who go to Sydney? There is a Bible-believing church that they can go to. Who funded it? Your funds. Goes there. Finally, please remember, we have 3 or 4 students studying FEBC. Those who give up well-paying jobs to go full-time need your support. Please think about it. They cannot live on fresh air. So with all these, this is the work of mercy, dear friends. Think and pray. It allows you to take home. You can't use it today. Take home and study it and pray. This is a means of grace. Enables you to pray through. Pray for them. And Blessed are the merciful, you will obtain mercy. Oh, my friends, remember Matthew 5:7. The Lord says, blessed are the merciful. Will you be merciful? God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today. We have the blessing of the Lord's table, and it is a table of mercy. We thank Thee for the lesson of mercy, even from the Sermon on the Mount, that we will all consider how we can be messengers of mercy. Bless Your people. Revive us according to Thy great love. In Jesus' name, Amen.